You can hear me now.
Okay. Good morning. All are welcome here, a phrase not unfamiliar to most students at EMU. As a senior CA and one of the co-leaders for Safe Space this year, I love working with those around me to create spaces where people can all feel truly welcome. It's one of the first things that drew me to this school. Our worship time this morning centers on the theme to be seen and be known, and I cannot thank everyone enough for their work in bringing this space together today. Keep an eye on the projector this morning as we go through some of the hymns. There's a few lyrics that you might not be used to. Just having some fun with it. We welcome you to this place. We welcome you to our family, and we welcome you here with love. Thank you. All right, good morning, everyone. So for this pre-finals week, I have lots and lots of events and things for you to distract yourself with instead of studying. So today at 4:30, YServe is going caroling at VMRC. If you could meet us in front of the commons, that would be awesome. It's gonna be a great time. There is a women's basketball game here versus WNL tonight. And there's an awesome jazz concert here in Layman at 7:30. And then tomorrow, there will be an Emulate concert. Friday is the CAC stress relief night. We all need some of that. That will be in Common Grounds at 8. And then on Saturday is one of the biggest events of the semester, the President's Ball. Make sure you get your tickets and dress in your absolute finest. Sunday at 1:30 is the Wind Ensemble here in Layman. And then at 3, there is a huge bike ride sponsored by the Bike Club going to Black Sheep. So make sure you guys get involved, have fun. Don't lock yourself in your rooms all weekend. Can we get the lyrics up for the next song? So we're going to start out singing a non-gendered version of As I Went Down to the River. And would you guys stand if you feel like you are able? All right, I'll start you out. As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, sorry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, neighbors, let's go down, come on down. Oh, neighbors, let's go down, down to the river to pray. As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good.
Studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way.
Bow my heads and pray. Pray with me. Creator God, we give thanks for our many gifts, for the gifts of gender and sexual orientation, and for the sacraments of relationship and community that grow from these gifts. Loving God, we give you thanks because you give us the wisdom to discern injustice and the courage to stand for peace. Give us the strength to stand against ignorance, condemnation, and defamation. Make us aware and give us the power to change when we cause grief for others. Thank you for the gift of those who give from their hearts with empathy, who reach out with support and understanding to the queer community. We rejoice for your healing power. Bless us all in our struggles. Amen.
It is my pleasure to introduce our two guest speakers this morning from RISE, a faith community here in Harrisonburg that meets downtown on Sunday mornings. Adam King will be bringing the message. Adam is associate pastor at RISE, and he received his Master of Divinity right here on campus at Eastern Mennonite Seminary just this past year. Adam currently volunteers with EMU's Campus Ministries program as a Campus Ministries affiliate. He is married to Katie, and they have a son who is 9 years old. Okay. And Amanda Garber will be bringing the service of communion. Amanda is a pastor at RISE, and she has a cool husband named Jack and two kiddos, Abby and Robert. And her puppy, Stewie, is a bizarre mix of Fozzie Bear, an Ewok, and a sheep. She drinks gallons of coffee each day, and in her work as a pastor, she meets lots of people and listens to their stories, and she marvels at the resilience and hope in those stories. She tries to help others hear the ways their stories intersect with God's story. Please welcome Adam and then Amanda later.
Thank you, Matt. I have two questions for you today. Who sees you? And who do you see? Who sees you? And who do you see? I'm going to do something a little different today, something I've never done. I didn't prepare a really fully thought out talk or sermon. Instead, I want to go through a story you've heard probably at some point in your life, a story of a man named Jesus. But I want to pull out seven instances that I think are worth noting. And I think you'll see the theme as we go through. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he said, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he asked, "What are you looking for?" Jesus turns and Jesus sees. Jesus turns and Jesus sees. This is a theme you're going to see throughout this whole day. Jesus sees these two disciples. And then he asks a question. What are you looking for? It's a simple question, really. I mean, when you think about it, it's a basic question. Like, why are you following me? Like, what's your deal? Leave me alone, maybe? I don't know. What are you looking for? But I think actually Jesus was asking something even more profound there. What is it that you're actually looking for when you call out to me, when you follow me? And as we find ourselves here at the end of the semester, tired, anxious, hopeful, a afraid, anticipating what's next, I want you to hear Jesus' question for you today. What are you looking for? Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said about him, "Here is a genuine Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael asked him, "How do you know me?" Again, Jesus sees Nathanael. Jesus acknowledges the presence of this person coming towards him. His eyes are up. They're not at the ground. They're not distracted. They're seeing this man, Nathanael. And then Jesus acts. And he speaks truth to Nathanael about who he is, about his identity. He declares that this was a genuine Israelite. He compliments. He notices a reality of this person, Nathanael, and he draws it out of Nathanael, and it changes Nathanael. It affirms who Nathanael is deep down inside, and it draws Nathanael to follow him. Can you find yourself asking Nathanael's question, though? How do you know me? How do you know me? I want you to ponder that question. Jesus, how do you know me? What have I done? What do you see in me? What is the identity, the kind of internal spark that you are acknowledging right now? How do you know me? So, what are you looking for? We ask this. How do you know me? We ask these questions. Jesus, who am I? After this, there was a Jewish festival, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate in the north city wall, is a pool with the Aramaic name Bethesda. It had 5 covered porches, and a crowd of people who were sick, blind, lame, and paralyzed sat there. A certain man was there who had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, knowing that he had already been there a long time, he asked them, "Do you want to get well?" Again, Jesus saw. Here, it's amongst a crowd of people that looked all alike in some way. They all had something they were struggling with. They all had a pain or a burden that they were carrying. And this man sitting by the pool, Jesus identifies him from the crowd and goes to him specifically and says, "Not be healed, but do you want to get well? Do you want to get well?" Can you hear that question on your life today? Do you want to get well? Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. Then Jesus looked up and saw the large crowd coming toward him, and he asked Philip, "Where will we buy food to feed these people?" Here, Jesus sees the crowd, the masses. He sees the individuals, but he sees them as a crowd, and he sees specifically their need. They're hungry. And I love his response. He looks to his follower. He says, where are we going to buy food for all these people? I mean, they don't have any money. Where will we buy food? There's a need in front of us, and it is obvious and it is plain, and Jesus calls his followers to act upon that need, to meet that need, to heal and mend within that need. And he asks the question of us today, and can you hear it? Where will we buy food? How will you respond to the needs that you see every day? Where will we buy food? As Jesus walked along, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And Jesus' disciples asked, Rabbi, who sinned so that he was born blind, this man or his parents? And Jesus answered, neither he nor his parents. This happened so that God's mighty works might be displayed in him. After he said this, he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and smeared the mud on the man's eyes. And Jesus said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went away and washed. And when he returned, he could see. Again, Jesus saw the blind man who could not see him. Jesus saw this man and recognized his need. But note his disciples, they weren't interested in the healing here. They wanted to know who was to blame for this man's sad condition. I challenge you, can you hear yourself in the disciples' question? So concerned about who or what is to blame that you fail to see opportunity for healing. Do we get caught up in finding the source of the problem instead of treating and healing the problem? Who is to blame? And Jesus says, no one. This is so that there might be healing and you might see, and this man might see. So I also ask, can you find yourself in the blind man encountering the light? And having new sight, new vision. Being able to see beyond blame and look to hope. When Mary arrived where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And when Jesus saw her crying, and the Jews who had come with her crying also, he was deeply disturbed and troubled. And he asked, where have you laid him? They replied, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to cry. Jesus saw Mary and Martha's pain and grief. He saw it visibly, but I think he saw deeper to it. He didn't just see and then look away. He stayed in it. And then Jesus responded by joining them in their weeping. Jesus grieved deeply by joining with those who grieve. And it began with seeing the grief, acknowledging the grief. And I ask you, can you find yourself in Mary and Martha? Longing for someone to grieve with you, to see your pain, to care. And also, I ask you, can you think of people and places that need you to join in the grief? and they're weeping. Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene stood near the cross. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Even from the cross, Jesus was seeing. Even in the midst of the most torturous moment of his life, he looked and he saw. And in this case, he saw family, biological and spiritual. And Jesus invited those present in this moment of loss and despair and hopelessness to cling to one another and form a new family. To see beyond the boundaries that we so often place on who can be in and who can be out, who is my mother, who is my father, Jesus says, these are your family. Look to the person beside you. Look to the person in front of you. This is your family, says Jesus. Can you find yourself today in this place, invited to see and know the people around you as your family? Can you continue to hear the invitation that Jesus offers to cling to one another in the midst of despair, loss, fear, hope, joy, love? Can you see one another? Can you see your family, whether it's here in this space, whether it's out on campus, whether it's walking around the community? Can you go to Walmart and look at a cashier and see your family? Can you walk the city streets and see a homeless person begging and in need and see your family? Can you look at someone who is infinitely different than you in so many ways and still see your family? Can you come across someone who makes you deeply uncomfortable and hear Jesus' call to say, "This is your family"? Who sees you? And who do you see? Again, I ask, who sees you? Who do you see? I want to lead you in an exercise. And it's going to require that you stand up and move around a little bit. And it's going to require that you get a little uncomfortable. And so I'm going to ask you to bear with me. But I promise you, if you commit and you lean into this exercise, I think it can be very powerful. Throughout this exercise, I request that you stay silent. In a moment, I'm going to invite you all to stand up, to leave the pews, and to enter into the aisleways. You're going to kind of get into a jumble. And throughout this exercise, I invite you to silently kind of walk around amongst one another. Move freely. You can change direction. Move where you feel, as long as you remain amongst the others around you. And as you walk around, keep your eyes up and see one another. Take your time and simply see one another. If you're sight impaired, I invite you to reach out your hand for others to take, or simply acknowledge and recognize the presence of those around you. At multiple times, three different times, I'm going to invite you to pause with whomever you happen to be seeing at that moment and stay with them, maintaining eye contact. as I lead you through a series of reflections and questions. There's no need to say anything. Simply see and know the people around you. So I invite you to stand, slide into the aisleways. And simply kind of mill about, quietly see one another, look in one another's eyes. See the beauty and diversity in the people around you. These are God's wonderful and glorious creation. These people are beloved children of God, and they are valuable to God beyond all imagination. Now I invite you to pause and stop, whomever you're closest to, as you look in this person's eyes and see this person. You may or may not know them, but you are deeply connected. This person has been lovingly made in the image of God. Can you see it? Can you see God dwelling in this person? Look deeply. And remember what you were looking for. It's right before you. The God of light and hope. The God of creation and recreation. The God who came to earth in Jesus is standing here before you in this person. See and know Jesus. You can continue to move. As you walk about continuing to see one another, seek out new faces, new folks. Take your time. We're in no rush. Notice now, though, where you may see pain or grief in one another's eyes. Anxiety, exhaustion, fear, apathy, humor, sadness, despair. See how we carry the burdens of this world. Friends, none of us are exempt. We each carry pain and struggle and story. I invite you to pause and see whomever you're nearest. And as you look at one another, recognize that this child of God carries stories and memories. Perhaps fresh, perhaps old, but they carry stories nonetheless. Stories that are like your own and yet totally unique. You don't need to speak them to know that they are there. Some of those stories are painful. Some they would much rather forget, but we all carry them. Look and see one another and know that you are not alone. I say it again, you are not alone. This person in front of you, they know your pain because they carry similar pains of their own. Your stories are unique, but your need for healing is the same. I invite you to give your partner and yourself the freedom to share one another's burden, even unspoken, even unknown. We're called to be Christ for one another. To grieve with those who grieve, to weep with those who weep, to seek justice with those who seek justice, to be with those who are lonely, to extend healing to one another. You may continue. As you continue to see one another, allow yourself to acknowledge that these people you're seeing, perhaps for the first time, perhaps for the thousandth time, acknowledge that they are your family. These are your brothers, your sisters, your siblings, your mothers and fathers, your aunts, uncles, grandparents, your Zaza, your nibblings, your cousins, your Titi, your auntie, whatever language you use. These folks with many skin colors, orientations, gender identities, nationalities, religions, and immigration status. They carry stories and hopes and dreams and fears. These are your family. I invite you to stop with someone. And this time, I invite you to speak simply to one another. You are my family. Move to someone else and say to this person, you are my family. See another person, say to this person, you are my family. Friends, we must see one another better. We must learn to walk and see the people around us. We need to get our eyes up away from our phones. We need to get our eyes up from the ground. We need to see the pain and joy, the promise and hope around us. Because if we miss it, we miss Christ. See and know. Be seen and be known. Amen. You may return to your seats.
As you find your seat, I invite you to turn in the purple book, sing the story to number 65, and we'll sing together. Number 65, Abre Mis Ojos. We'll sing it in English, but in order to be truer to the Spanish, I'd like to change a few words. And so on each of the verses, when it says, open my eyes, Lord, help me to see like you, instead of to see your face. And then the same with, help me to hear like you and help me to love like you. Open my eyes, Lord, help me to see. Open my ears, Lord, help me to hear like you. Open my ears, Lord, help me to hear. Open my heart, Lord, help me to love like you. Open my heart. Help me to love, and the first shall be last, and our eyes are open, and we'll hear like never before, and we'll speak in new ways, and we'll see God's face in places we've never known. Open my eyes, Lord, help me to see like you. Open my eyes, Lord, help me to see.
Thank you, Matt, and thank you, Adam. I appreciate what you guys have shared so far. We're about to enter into a space of communion, also offering up another activity, just some opportunity for more reflection. So we had the idea that we would like to make a quilt, because that's a very Mennonite thing, and we want all of you to be a part if you'd like to be. So what we're asking you to think about is if Jesus could talk to you, if you could be with him as you are seen and known, what do you think he would say to you? So as you come and take communion, if feel free to come up to the steps and write and respond to the thought, what would Jesus say to you if he were here with us right now? There's a wonderful story in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. It's post-crucifixion, and Jesus is risen, but most people haven't figured this out yet, particularly his closest friends. And the story goes, two of the disciples, Cleopas and the other disciple, who many scholars believe was probably a female, were walking along a road to a place called Emmaus, and their eyes were cast down because they were absolutely dripping in grief. Everything they believed in, everything they'd invested in, the whole reason their lives had been turned upside down was gone, brutally tortured and murdered. And so they're trying to find their way through the grief, and a stranger joins them along the way. And again, their eyes were cast down. They couldn't see who was in their midst. So they have this conversation. The stranger says, what's going on? What are you talking about? And they said, where have you been? Have you not heard about what's happened? They proceeded to tell him the story, and ultimately, they ended up sharing a meal together. The story tells us that in the breaking of bread, their eyes are open, and they're able to see that this stranger, who's been with them all along, is the risen Jesus. This meal, some people call it Holy Communion, some call it the Eucharist, some call it the Lord's Supper. It has many names. Call it whatever you want. It is an absolute gift. And I personally think it's marvelous that the beloved ones who planned this service wanted to celebrate communion and break bread together. But this meal transforms us, and particularly today, in light of this sacred opportunity to reflect on what it means to truly see and be seen, I hope that you will remember that this meal opens our eyes. We celebrate Holy Communion every Sunday at Rise. And one of the great privileges of my job, if you will, is to get to stand back and watch as community members come, hold out their hands, receive the bread, dip it into the cup. But what is actually more beautiful than words can even describe is the connection. It's the way that, even if it's just for a brief moment, people are seen. And people are known. That is healing. That is life-giving. It changes us. And it enables us to truly become more like Jesus. Let us pray. Creator God, we long to be fully seen and fully known. At times, this level of intimacy and vulnerability scares us, makes us uncomfortable. But it also is our deepest desire. And to know deep in the very core of our being
that we are made in your image, that you delight in each and every one of us, and that we are more than enough. For this sacred space, for this safe space, for the opportunity to pause and breathe and see one another, we are so grateful. And now we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon these gifts of the bread and the cup. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for all of your beloved children, every single one. May we be Jesus' risen body, set free to live joyfully, to laugh together, to cry together, to work for justice, to work together for amended creation, and to see one another as you see us. The journey can be difficult and painful, and there are days when we start to lose our grip on hope. And when we do, remind us to reach for you and to reach for one another. And remind us that you have promised us that there will come a day when all things will be made new. There will come a day when there will be no more mourning or crying or pain or death, when your creation will be mended, made whole, and we can feast with your Son at his everlasting celebration, where all of your beloved ones will be gathered in. Every single person will be fully seen and fully known, and we will all have the deepest sense of how much you love us. Through your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, now and forever, world without end. Amen. Friends, this is what we call an open table, and that means that absolutely everyone in this space is welcome, joyfully invited to receive this gift of grace and transformation today. No exceptions, none. We also understand that everybody is at a different point in his or her journey of life and faith, and that's okay. So if you choose not to receive communion today for whatever reason, that is totally fine. No pressure. Be who you are and where you are, and know that you are loved, but please know you are so welcome at Jesus' table. We will have two communion stations today, one on this side, one on this side. Please come to either one. When you do, hold out your hands like this. This is a gesture that reminds us that we receive grace. It is a gift that is given to us. Please take the piece of what is actually gluten-free bread, so we can all share from one loaf, which I think is wonderful. Dip the bread into the cup of what is grape juice and taste and see how much you are loved. I want to encourage all of us to, as Adam so eloquently said, lift up your eyes, make eye contact with those who are serving you, and see one another as family.
I invite you to stand and turn in the purple book again to number 117. How can I say that I love the Lord whom I've never ever seen before and forget to say that I love the one whom I walk beside each and every day? Actually, if you need the book for the notes, use them, but we're going to use some words that you'll see up here. And we'll sing through it two times.
Friends, go in peace to serve and love the Lord. Keep your eyes open and see one another as you go about your day, and know that you are loved. Amen.